Keperek Nun Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Uri Uri Livshi Uzeich, awaken. Hashem is telling Klai Yisrael to awaken themselves, to wake up. Livshi, gird yourself with Uzeich Tzion. Tzion shall dress in might, with strength. Livshi Bidei Sefarteich, get dressed in beautiful, splendorous clothing. Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The Holy City Yerushalayim, Kilo Yosef Yover Loch Od Orel V'Tamei. No longer will the Orel, the uncircumcised, and the Tamei will enter. They will no longer be allowed to enter Yerushalayim. That refers to, that doesn't refer to just people, tourists coming into Eretz Yisrael. It refers to conquering nations. As you see in the Mitzudos, no longer Lo Yavi Od Lavi Od Bikirbach Lim Sholbach. No longer will they be allowed to come into your country to rule over you. A nation that is Tamei, you will have sovereignty, independence from foreign rule. That's really become true nowadays to a very large degree. It's an amazing prophecy that I can't say not. I can't say it's not been fulfilled to a certain degree. Hitznari miyafakumi, awaken yourself, shake off yourself from the dust. There's a lot of repetition in the Nevi'im. A lot. The sections are repeated over and over. And themes. What?
It's like from the
Chadodi. Oh, yeah. Hisnariya Fakum. Yes, absolutely. Yes. That's where it comes from. Yes, correct. Everything that we say in Tzvila comes from Tanakh. Kimat. You just have to, in a certain form. Tanakh is the Sheresh of everything, of tefillah, of Musar. Like they say, the Bali Musar, we have only some Mesilas Yesharim and Shari Tshuva, Derech Hashem. What are all the sources for all of the ideas expressed in these Svarim? All Tanakh. And they basically, many of these Svarim, they quote a pasuk in Tanakh and they expand upon, they write chapters. So when you learn the Pesukim inside, you're really learning the source of the ideas. Okay, let's go further. Shake yourself off from the dust. Hisnar means to tenua chazaka. According to the Mitzvah, it doesn't just mean to shake a little. It means a very strong shaking. It's to thoroughly remove the dust particles that have been attached to the garment. And that's what Rashi says as well. Rashi says, "Kiminamre satale." So shake yourself, may offer kumi from the dust. Kumi, rise up, shivit, sit down, yushlaim, his patachi losrei tzavarech, untie the yoke that is attached to your neck, shivit basion, and sit down. Get up from the ground, sit down in a dignified way, representing the time of Gula. There's a beautiful Medrash. I think we quoted this list, and the Medrash says, you don't have this, I'm reading the Medrash. The Medrash says, when the Jewish people, when they reach the dust, when they fall to an extreme low, miyod heim nigolim. That is the moment when they are redeemed. Shememar this pasuk. That's why we say in Friday night, this pasuk his na'ari me'af kumi shvi yushlaim, which means when you reach the offer, when you reach a state when you are so low and so humiliated, then you will merit to rise up. When your children reach a low to the dust, at that moment, Hei Nigolim, they will be redeemed. Shemar, this pasuk, Poyah, that's pasuk in Bereish, Poyah, Zerach, Kafaretz. And the same idea is expressed here as well. Okay, let's go back to pasuk Gimel. Now, there's one more thing I want to point out. There's another Medrash, which is, you have this, these type of Medrashim are all over in Sefer Yeshaya. I'll read you the words, if you don't have it, I'll read it to you. This comes from Eicha. In fact, it's Parash Aleph towards the beginning of Eicha. Hispatri Moshe Tzavrich. This pasuk Yeshaya says, untie the bands, the bands of servitude, the yoke that is attached to your neck. Yeshaya says, open up. Atamotzi. I'm reading the Medrash. Atamotzi. You find Shekol Nevuos Koshas Shenisnabi Yirmiya Al Yisrael. Yirmiya was the navi of gloom and doom, and Yeshaya is the navi of Necham, of comfort. All of the harsh prophecies of Yirmiya were preceded by soft prophecies of Yeshaya. Yeshaya diluted and he preempted the harshness of Yirmiyah. This theme is a recurring theme throughout Sefer Yeshaya, and that's another. Here's another small little snippet. And he healed them in advance. Hashem creates the refuah. Koydim the makah. Yirmiyah Omar. What did Yirmiyah say? Niskad ol pishoai al yistargu olu al tzavaroi. My wounds have been very quick to come, and they have overcome me and strangled my neck. That's what the pasuk means in a nutshell. My wounds, the tzoros, will strangle your neck. Yirmiyah is predicting that Klal Yisrael are going to be strangled with terrible tzoros. It's as if someone will take ropes and tie it around our neck to strangle us. So here Yeshaya lived much before Yirmiyah. Yeshaya lived at least 125 years before Yirmiyah. Yeshaya lived in a whole different tkufa of Chizkiyahu and the kings before that. Yirmiyah lived at the time of the Churban, which was 125 years later, and here Yeshaya says, don't worry, those ropes that are strangling your neck, open them up. They will be open, you will have nothing to worry about, you will sit as a free man. So we see again this idea of Yeshaya healing the harsh words of Yirmiyah. Pasuk Gimel, Ki Choyam Hashem, so says Hashem, Chinam nimkartem v'loi v'chesef tigo elu. This begins a new idea that we have not had before in this Sefer. That Hashem says, Hashem compares the galus of Bavel, Modai, and Paras, and Edom for that matter, to the galus of Mitzrayim. It's a very big fundamental difference. I heard yesterday someone give a very interesting shiur by the Dal Malchus. So he asked a very simple question, which there are hundreds of answers to. I mean, you don't need hundreds of answers, there's just obvious answers. Rabbi Miller is here, he will right away understand what I'm saying in a few moments. But he developed it in a much deeper way. We have four galus. We spoke about this so many times. Bavel, Modai Paras, Yavan, Edom. We've spoken how we've broken that up into eight. It's the Medrash. The Medrash says Lamsech HaLashminis, and the Medrash says that it's not really four, it's really eight. Bavel is broken up into two. First came the Kastim. Nebuchadnezzar was the Kastim. And I said Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar is Bavel. And his two, his son and grandson, Evel Meroidach and Balshetzar are the Kastim. And then came Modai. Then came Paras. Then came Yavan. Yavan is really two. It really is Alexander Moikton. Alexander the Great, Macedonia. He is Moikton. Then after he died, his Malchus was divided into four parts, four different nations. Took hold of his Malchus. And then comes Edom, which is broken up into Edom plus Yishmael. Okay, so we have the four, which are eight Galios. What about Mitzrayim? What happened to Mitzrayim? Where did they go? Where did the Egyptians go? That's also a major Galus. We were there for 210 years. There was a Bris Ben Absarim that's going to be there for 400 years. Somehow that was contracted into 210 years. There was 86 years of Shibud. And then the Pasuk also makes a calculation. There were 430 years. So what's going on? From Leidas Yitzhak, it was 430 years. What's going on here? What happened to Egypt? Egypt is a very significant Galus. So the obvious answer. His first answer was, I'll tell you what. The one who heard the show was Rabbi Klein. I don't know his first name. He's a director of Torah Mesorah. He works for Torah Mesorah. He's very big in the Holocaust. He goes all over the country training teachers and. The Torah Mesorah has a project where they very much want that the new generation should not forget about the Holocaust. They have a person that works full time for them, runs all across the country, back and forth, training teachers about how to teach the Holocaust with a Torah Hashkafa. They just published an article, just published from Rabbi Elias, a fantastic book. Basically, it's like the curriculum of how to teach Holocaust to children. I got it and I started reading it. It's fantastic. But what about Mitzrayim? So why is that not included? So one answer is because that was before we were a nation. You can't talk about Mitzrayim, even though we have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were the Avos, and we have the 70, we have the Shvatim, and we have the 70 Nefashos. but we were not yet a nation until Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. So that does not count as Golus. Golus is only after you are a nation, and then you're exiled. We were not yet called a nation, even though the roots were there, the Avos and Klal Yisrael, Shishim Riboy, until we left Mitzrayim. So that's why it's not counted in all of these prophecies in Daniel, and this little collection of Midrashim, or Midrash has 60 themes of where we spawned the Dal Malchios. None of them include Mitzrayim. Is that correct? Your book. And your whole book.
Generally.
All 60 don't, it's only four. Four start after we have been formed as a nation.
Sometimes it comes in as a preliminary.
Right. Another answer given, and I didn't really say this from my client, is that Mitzrayim is the blueprint. It's koilel all four together. In Mitzrayim, that was the prototype. That was the prototype of Galus. And really, had we been able to stick it out for 400 years, we would have witnessed the Gula Shalema, Mashiach would have come, we would have been a nation that would have been so strong. It's only because we left Mitzrayim prematurely, we were not able to remain there, we sunk to such a low level, like it says over here, when you reach the Ofar, Hashem has no choice but Niyot, right away in the Galin. So we have to compensate for that, unfortunately, with all these years in Galus, and which includes the four Galios. But here in this Pasuk, he's addressing it, he's also appearing to address it, and telling us that in Egypt, the Golus of Egypt was different than the other four Golios. Because when we were in Egypt, they did us a favor. What do you mean they did us a favor? We were starving in Canaan. We were starving. There was a famine. There was a rough. Yaakov and Banav had nothing what to eat. We don't even know what happened. I don't know if there are even records of what happened to people living in that part of the world in Canaan during the... There are no records going back that far. It's very, very hard to know whatever happened. Anything that we happened, it's also questionable if it's accurate, not accurate, and what time period it was. But it says in the Torah, there was a horrible famine. People were dying like flies. Klal Yisrael had no choice to go down to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim did us a very great favor. They saved our lives. They saved our lives. They sustained us. They sustained us during the Yimei Harav. And therefore, the Pasuk says, when we see the moment, it says in the Mefarshim here, it's incredible, we owe them. We owe them. They were good to us. They sustained us. Okay, they got a little bit carried away, and they turned us into slaves, and they tortured us. What more do you want? They took children, put them in, made them into bricks to build their pyramids. I mean, what more do you want? But it started out as an act of chesed. Malchus shel chesed. And we owe them. Fascinating idea. So it says here, I'm not making this up. But Bavel, Parasu Madai, Yavan Edom, what did they do for us? Who asked you? Who asked you to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Adrab, we were doing you the favor. Chazal tells us that the Goyim knew how much benefit the world received from the Shechina that rests in the Beis HaMikdash. They would send their best armies to protect the Beis HaMikdash. So it was for nothing. We went into Golus. We went into exile. Beloi Chesef. Ki choyam Hashem chinam. For nothing. Nimkarten. Jewish people were sold into Golus. They were sold to the Babylonians into servitude, to slavery, into exile. And what do we get in exchange? Nothing. We would have preferred to remain home in Eretz Yisrael, sovereignty, independence, autonomy. No, we were sold for nothing. And therefore Hashem says, being that that's the case, I owe your exiles nothing. When you will be redeemed, I'm not going to give them anything in exchange. I'm not going to say, oh, so now I want to return my people back to Eretz Yisrael. It's not right. If I take them out of the country, the economy is going to collapse. Because the Jews, they contribute to the economy. If they're just going to pack up and go, you can't just do that. You have to buy your way out. You have to give the nations of the world billions of dollars to buy your freedom. Hashem says no. We have to go back to the start. How did they get here? Did you pay anything to acquire my people? You stole them. They were living happily in their land. You plucked them out of the land. You exiled them. You tortured them. Now they've been here for a number of years. They've developed. They're successful. They contribute to your economy. Too bad for you. When I'm going to redeem them, it's too bad. I'm not paying you. There's no compensation.
Isn't there like another combination? Because Nikartem is an Elashim used for Yosef when he was sold.
He was sold. Right.
That's right. Which was
could be. There could be the Midrash of
Elashim. Like by Rus.
Okay, could definitely. This sefer that I use has selected Midrashim. They don't have. They definitely don't have. They don't have nearly any everything. They have a nice selection, but they don't have. They don't. None of the midrashim I've looked through mentioned. I was thinking about it also. None of the midrashim discussed the relationship to Yosef, because obviously they went to Golis and started with the Mechira. Yeah.
There's another interpretation of this pasuk here that's considerable debate in Parakalet about how the kates will occur. Is it conditional or unconditional? Do we have to do tshuva first in order for it to happen, or? Or a bit, that's
the Be'ita Nachishana.
Yes, and this pasuk is part of that.
Part of that discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, but there's a very nice idea. Ki lo ki yokam Hashem, one more time, ki choyam Hashem, chinam imkamtem, you were sold for free. V'loi v'chesem, therefore, v'loi v'chesef tigui. Let's see Rashi and the Mitzudos. So Rashi is always very midrashic. Always, at least in Yeshai. Always very, that's his approach. Look at Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Al Iske Chinam, what does that mean? Hu Yetzer Hora, She'en Elochem L'Sochar. All different approach to the Pasuk. You went into Galus because of your sins. Nothing to do with Bavel, and Yavon, and Paras, Modlad. Why did you go to, you went because of the Yet, Al Iske Chinam, Hu Yetzer Hora, She'en Elochem L'Sochar. The Yetzer didn't pay you. He just enticed you. You got nothing out of the Yetzer Hara, and therefore v'loy v'chesef tigo elu ella b'tshuva. You're not going to be redeemed unless you do tshuva. So since you sinned, you need to do tshuva. Everything here is just a metaphor for chet tshuva that will bring the geula. Let's look at the mitzudos. So it's always pshat. Heavy duty pshat. Pasuk gimel. Chidem nimkartem. Mash nimsartem biyad hakastim. This that you will give it over to the kastim, which means to Nebuchadnezzar, the god of Bais Rishon. Hine loy lokachti mihem mechir. Hashem says, I didn't get anything. They took you away from my land, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't give me one penny. Nothing. Because if Nebuchadnezzar would have given me something, would have done for me a benefit, Hashem says, then when I would want to redeem my people, I would be required to compensate. That meaning that when I redeem, I would have to redeem with money. Therefore, you will be redeemed. It's too bad for the Babylonians. They will be destroyed, and I will extract my people. Now, you really can't learn that pasuk. This pasuk without going to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalit. It's a contrast. But Mitzrayim. But when it comes to Mitzrayim. When it comes to Mitzrayim, Yorad, Ami, Verishoyim, Logosham, but when it came to Mitzrayim, it was different. There they came to sojourn. They came there. The key word here is Logosham, to live there. We'll read the Mitzvot and Rashi in a moment. The Ashur, but now again, the Pesukim are very difficult. They're very difficult because it's jumping backwards. Now when it says V'Ashur, it's really going back to Pasuk Gimel, but Ashur, which refers to Nebuchadnezzar, that's what the Masuda says. I'll show you something very midrashic here in the Masuda in a moment. The Ephes, for nothing, Ashoko, for nothing did they rob you. The Jewish people were robbed when they were snatched out of their land. Let's first see the Mitzudos, Dalit. Mitzrayim, Rotzoloimar. It's a very good Mitzudos because it really opens up the whole understanding of the Pasuk. That's something which is not obvious. Rotzoloimar. Ma shesho ovdoy. I don't know how to read that.
Sheshibdo.
You were a slave. You were a sheep. What's the word for sheep?
Enslaved.
Limitzrayim. Im ki hoya zman rav. Even though it's true, you were there for a very long time. We were there for 210 years. Hine loyal chinam haisa. It's not like the case of Bavel and Edom. In famine, and they sustained you. So the Hashem is saying, you know, I owe the Egyptians, because even though it's true they didn't slay them, I owe them. And that's why it says, you're not allowed to hate a Mitzri. So in the Torah it says you're not allowed to hate an Egyptian. It's unbelievable halacha. You were he sustained you, but they tortured us. They took the children and they put them into bricks. What more do you want? I mean, how big could it get? Torah says, "Lo tisaiv mitzri." Don't hate an Egyptian. They were your host. What about, how do you apply that to Germany? I don't know the answer to Germany. How do you apply that to, are you allowed to hate a German? Why don't you say the same thing? You're not allowed to hate a Nazi. So they weren't right for him. They came running after us. 600 Rechav Mitzrayim, the best, the elite forces of Egypt, came running after us to kill us, to drown us, to assassinate. Right, and yet
same thing with Germany.
My question is, so I'm asking you a question, what's going on? When it comes to Egyptians, Mitzrayim, they tortured us, they starved us. All the Midrashim, what took place during the 87 years of Shiva, how it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And they took the children, put them into bricks, and every boy had to be thrown into the Nile, and so on and so forth, all the horrors. And then when we were left, we're going to chase after them and kill them. Every single 600 chariots came to kill us. And yet the Torah says, don't hate them. They're good people. Don't hate them. Because they were your host. So I'm asking you. And so take this a step further. I'm saying total nonsense, obviously, but take this a step further. Or is it nonsense? Look about Nazi Germany. We live, how long do the Jewish people live in Germany? Okay, not under the Nazis, but in the country Germany, almost a 1,000 years, but probably 900 years, at least. At least, the first crusade happened 916 years ago. And that was already after we were living there for at least 100 years. Yeah?
Well, I would answer that Mitzrayim took us in without having any intent to better their own situation by taking us in.
Yes.
Whereas, at least historically, countries, you know, threw us out, took us in. Usually, we were taken in and given a
for their own good.
For their good.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to point out. That exactly is the answer, and that's exactly what this pasuk is addressing. The pasuk is exactly addressing this issue. It has, of course, has to be defined much better than I can possibly do. But the pasuk, Egypt, they did you a favor. We were starving in Canaan.
We were cash customers.
Exactly. When we came to Germany, we did them the favor by coming to them. We helped them out. After it's not really clear the history how we ended up in Germany, how it all started when they sort of came to Rome. And from Rome, all these there were four people that were depositing different lands, and they developed different lands. But it all started with Golos. We were very happy to live in Eretz Yisrael. No one was interested in leaving Eretz Yisrael. Along came Edom. Germany is Edom. That's Pashut. I mean, I don't think anyone argues with that. Gemar Mishal, Gemara. Gemar Mishal, Rav Yaakov Emden. No one's coming. Germany is Edom. It's part of the larger picture of Edom. We were living in the Yerushalayim. No one told them to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They, Titus, they are the ones who went and extracted us from Eretz Yisrael and brought us to Rome and then took us to Germany and to France and so on and so forth, and then we ended up all over the world. It's Beloy Kesef. Beloy Kesef. Who? Memela Hashem says, I'll take you back also, Bechinam, Beloy Kesef Bechinam. We have no obligation to love them. It doesn't say anywhere that you're not allowed to hate an Edomi and so on, because we owe them nothing. But the Egyptians, as evil as they were, they took us in and they saved our lives. We were starving. So it's an interesting idea, which of course has to be studied in much greater detail, but there is over here, this is part of the discussion. This pasuk is something which has to be analyzed. And here the Mitzudas really is the one that brings it out. Let's see Rashi says, the Mitzrayim Yorami, Heim HaMitzrim Hoyu Lohem Ktsas Choyv Aleihem. Why? Here's Rashi also says this. Rashi is saying, why? Shenasu Lohem Achsanya the Egyptians were our hosts. The chilkulum, and the Egyptians sustained us. Aval Ashur. Now the Mitzvah series says something very interesting, which is also very deeply midrashic. Ash, what do you mean? You're jumping back and forth. It says over here, Chinam nimkartem b'le b'chesef tigo'elu. Geula only comes from who? From Bavel. Ashur never succeeded, at least in exiling Yerushalayim, the Malchus Yehuda. They exiled the Aseres Hashatim. So now, what's it jumping back over here? The Ashur, the FS with nothing, Ashur robbed the Jewish people. So the Mitzvah says something which is amazing. Who is Ashur? Yoimar. Ye Omer al Sancheriv, and who else? Unavuchanetzar. Why? Kigam hu molach ba'asher. The Nebuchadnezzar started off his career in Asher. That's part of the Medrash. Now Asher was way before Bavel came to power, and that's one of these midrashim which we really don't understand. That Nebuchadnezzar was one of the soldiers in Sancheriv's army of 185,000 generals, and he was one of the few people, which says in the pasuk, you can count on your finger how many people survived the miracle. The Malach came in the middle of the night, night of Pesach, and wiped out the entire army of 185,000 soldiers. That was just the generals. Plus, how many soldiers were there? That's another story. But he was from the few survivors, and then he eventually became the king of Bavel. But wait a minute, he had a father. His father was Biladon, Beroidach Biladon. And then came the Nebuchadnezzar. And that was at least 125 years later. So that means that the Nebuchadnezzar had to be at least 125 years old. That's a stretch. So some want to say, no, it means his grandfather, great-grandfather, you want to go into Yeni Kabbalah, Gilgulim, I'm not going there. But over here, the Mitzudas also, he says this, and it's very strange, because the Mitzudas doesn't do this. The Mitzudas is always very strict pshat. And he said the Nebuchadnezzar started out as a melech in Ashur. And therefore, when the pasuk here says Ashur, referring to, because obviously he's bothered by the pasuk. What do you mean dealing with Geula? Ashur did not exile the Malchus of Yehuda. So you want to say refers to the Aseres Hashvatim? Okay, maybe that's what it means. But he's not saying that. He's saying the Pashashad is the one who really brought about the Gauls. What about the Gauls in Tanakh is Bavel. So what's the jumping around here with Geula and Ashur? Teretz says Ashur can be substituted for Bavel, because it all started. The roots of Bavel had its start in Ashur, which is very interesting. Because when you talk about Bavel, you talk about Kazdan, right? If you want to go give someone else credit, you'll give it to the Kazdan the credit. And now we're going even a step back. And where did the Kazdan come from? Oh, they came from Ashur. So these are very interesting ideas. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Hey Vyata Malifo Hashem says Malifo Lum Hashem. This is a very beautiful expression which is quoted. This is quoted often in different Sfarim. What do I get out of this? Malifo Lum Hashem. Hashem says, what am I doing here? What am I waiting? Ki Lukach Ami Chinam. My people have been taken away from me for nothing. Moishlov Yehelilu, those who rule over my people, they brag. Numashim, they brag and they claim, Koichi v'oitzem yadi, Nebuchadnezzar, Adamel, or Elion, they say the most absurd, ridiculous, bizarre things. The people who have conquered my nation, Hashem, I'm here in Yerushalayim, the Shechinu never left from behind the Koisel, I'm sitting here in Yerushalayim, and Hashem says, what do I get out of this? I'm here, my nation has been exiled, the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, and all the conquering nations are bragging and saying these horrible things. The Samit Kol Hayom, this is a very good, this is a very powerful pasuk, Shmi Mino Otz. The whole day my name is despised. Let's see some of these very nice words. Mino Otz in the Mitzudas Tzion means Bezoyin. My name is disgraced. You don't have this expression that often, Mino Otz. You have a lot of other different words in the Yeshaya for despised, disgraced, but not Mino Otz. That's a new expression here. And I was just going back to Yehelil, the word before, Hilul, his barus, splendor, means in this context they brag. And the Mitzudos explains, Malifo, Mitzudos David, Pasuk Hey, Malifo, Mali Lahashois Esbenifo, Zezman Rav. What do I get? So he types the word Po, meaning galus. According to the Mesudos, what do I get out of allowing my nation to remain po here in exile all of this time? This is a fraud. What do I get out of this? Bishop in Mitzrayim, Hashem says, they did my people a favor. There was a famine. Hashem is a Baal, can do whatever he wants, but Hashem said, I want there to be a famine, I want them to be my host. But what do I get out of allowing my people to be here under the control of a foreign nation when my people have gotten out of this nothing? They have not done for my Jews, my people, any favors whatsoever. If you look in the Mitzudos, okay, same idea. Let's go one more pasuk. Lochein, therefore, we'll make finish the section. Where's the next samach? No, it's not coming for a long time. We'll just see one other pasuk. Lochein, therefore, yeda ani shmi. Therefore, Hashem says, do not worry. The day will come. I will bring geula. Yeda ani shmi. My nation will know. My people will know my name. Lochein, bayimu on that day. Ki ani hu hamadaber hineni. It is I, and I will speak. Here I am. Hineni, very beautiful expression. Hineni, here I am. I am here. I am ready for you. I want to bring you home. To bring you home to Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Zayin. This is the name of a camp. Manavu. Anyone have that camp?
Yeah, sure.
It's the name of a camp. So where do they get it from? They got it from here. This is the Haftarah of
Shoftim.
So they have to wait until the end of the summer to know where the name of their camp came from. Manavu al hehorim, how beautiful! It's very beautiful. Manu noim, it's a very beautiful word. Navu, how beautiful it is. Allah harb upon the mountains, the raglei mivaser, the geula. This is the besura of the geula. Very good pasuk for the day after Tisha B'Av. The raglei hamivaser, the feet, the footsteps of the mivaser. Mashmiya shalom, he is making it heard. There will be peace. Mivaser tov, he is announcing good. Mashmiya Yeshua, he's making it heard there will be salvation. Oimer Litzion, he says to Tzion, Molach Elokoyach, your God has ruled over you, he has returned, he is here to rule over you. How, so you think, go backwards, there are many expressions. But the beginning is, this is a beautiful thing to see when the Mashiach, Eliyahu Hanavi, Choritz predicting Eliyahu Hanavi, he is the one that is Mevaser on the Geula, he will come before Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGodol V'Hanoira, he will reveal that Mashiach is coming. He will come one day. There are many Mamarei Chazal which don't know exactly what it means, but he will come before the Mashiach ben Yosef, or some say before Mashiach ben David, to inform us that tomorrow, or in a very short time, Mashiach will arrive. The Gemara, the Mefarshim do ask that there are Mamarei Chazal which appear to contradict this and appear to say that the Mashiach can come even without Eliyahu. And the answer they give is the two different types of Geula. There's Achishena and Beita. If the Geula comes in its set predetermined time, then Eliyahu will precede Melech HaMashiach. But if the Geula will come Achishena in advance, will come before its predetermined time, Eliyahu will come together with Mashiach. So you're going to have at least two seats in the car, because they'll come together, not in sequence. So that's so. But here it says he's the Vassal. It's a beautiful Medrash. Maybe we'll just do this Medrash. I'll read you the Medrash. The Medrash takes this part and it describes all the different expressions. Okay, Oimer Litzion Melech Lokoyach. I'm reading, you don't have this in front of you. This Psikta Rabasi, this Medrash, takes all the expressions and breaks it up. Here, let me read. B'shoah Shaglish Baruch Hu Goel Tishol, Koidem Shloisha Yonim Shiyoim Mashiach. Okay, 3 days. This is one, the Midrashim conflict. You're not going to find any consensus, especially when it comes to Mashiach. It's one thing when you want to talk about what happened in the past. Okay, there, I think more or less all of the Midrashim, to a certain degree, are on the same page. But when you're dealing with things that have not yet happened, the Midrashim, there's no agreement whatsoever among the Midrashim. And here's another example. Koidem Shloisha Yamin. 3 days before Sheyove HaMashiach Bo Eliyahu Hanavi will come. You don't have this. I'm reading this in the Medrash. You don't have this Medrash. It's in my special magic book. V'oymeir al Hare Yisrael. And it's standing on the Hare Yisrael. Now here's what the Medrash. He's crying. He's not happy. He's crying. Umaspid Alehem. He's being maspid the mountains, eulogizing the mountains. Ve'oimer, Hore Eretz Yisrael, mountains of Israel. Admosai atem oimdim b'choyrev tzio ushmam. How long will you remain in this matzav, in this situation of desolation, dryness, and destruction? The koiloi nishmam is soif oil of Yatsof, and the voice of Eliyahu be heard from one end of the world to the other over his eulogy over the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. The Yachakachem Ulchem, then he says to them, to the mountains, Bo shalom lo'olam. And then he says, mountains, enough. After 3 days, peace is coming. Shenemar, we could have a pasuk. Al Hehorim, on the mountains. Manovu al Hehorim, how beautiful it is on the mountains. Ragle mevaser mashmia shalom. To make it heard, peace. So this pasuk of Manovu al Hehorim, ragle mevaser, It's entering into the picture 3 days late. You have to know the secret. 3 days before Eliyahu HaNavi will come, and how beautiful it will be when it will be announced that peace is coming. Already for 3 days before that, he has been crying and eulogizing the churban of the mountains. Kevan Shashamay Risham, when the wicked hear, Heim Smechim Kulam V'Oimim Zelazel, the wicked, when the Risham of the world hear this. So we think, right, we get excited that when it says these mountains, it's they're chorav, there's churban in Yerushalayim, and Eliyahu is crying, the Rishon, and now he says shalom, so we think, oh, it's our peace. No. The Rishon of the world, they think it's the pieces for them. The Palestinians are now jumping for joy. Oh, peace for us. We're going to be the recipients of this good news from Eliyahu that's crying. Ayim zelzeh, bo shalom lanu. Bayom hasheni. So Eliyahu says, no, you're making a big mistake. No, then he goes and he says, peace, toiv. Then he says, that's the next part of the world, next part of Pasuk. Toiv mashmiya. So on day, after day three, after on day two. Day one, day two, so 3 days first of crying. Then we go up to day one, we're starting the count again, we reset the clock. 3 days of crying. Day one, usually day four. Shalom is coming to the world, and the Rishoyim are celebrating because they think it's for them. Day two, next part of the pasuk, Mevaser Toiv, good is coming to the world. Mevaser Toiv, Bayom Ashlishi Bav Yomer, Bo Yeshua Lo Olam. Day three, which is really day six, salvation is coming to the world. Shenemar Mashmir Yeshua. And what do the wicked say? The wicked say, and who are celebrating over these announcements on day 4, 5, 6, which we reset to day 1, 2, and 3? The wicked. They are the ones who are celebrating the announcement of Shalom, Toiv, and Yeshua. And then the Eliyahu HaNavi shocks them all and he says, you got it all wrong. It's true, there is shalom, and there is toiv and Yeshua. But it's not for you. Now we include the end of the pasuk. Oimer l'tzion molach elokayich. It's for the Jewish people. L'koch oimer l'tzion molach elokayich. Lam l'cha shal l'tzion ulevoneho bo yu Yeshua. V'loy l'rishoyim. At that time, Marek HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kvoidu Malchusu L'chol Boi Olam V'Goyelot Yisrael Hashem redeems them V'Nigla Kvoidu B'Reisham, and Hashem reveals Himself. It's an incredible medrash. It's an awesome medrash. It explains a lot of things. You have to, how you can take this and apply this to what's been happening in this world in the last, I don't know, in different layers of interpretation, the last 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, where there is a sense in the entire world. Eliyahu HaNavi comes 3 days. 3 days, obviously, it's a moshul. It's a time period. There's a sense of good things are coming to this world. There are advances in technology, in society, in culture. We're beginning to get a feel of what's going on in this world. And it comes with the announcement of Shalom, Toiv, and Yeshua. And what happens? Who takes the credit? Who's taking this for themselves? The Rishoyim. The Toiv is for us. The Yeshua is for us. The Shalom is for us. And then at the very end, He shocks them all and he says, sorry guys, it's not for you. You've been fooled. It's for Klal Yisrael. Oymer litzion molach elokayach. Very powerful. Okay, so we will stop here with Pasik Ches. And now we will do Mishneh Berurah.
The new kinos are updated.
And they're talking about the Germans also.
I mean, for the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Hershel and Schwab and Baba Vareba, and there's even more. Yeah, Weiss certainly. That's what Tisha B'Av. That is what Tisha B'Av is all about.
Weissmandel.
Okay. Let me get a Mishneh Berurah. Give me 1 second. Maybe I can borrow someone so we can keep cool on. Thank you very much. I want to warn you, I didn't prepare too much, so you'll have to be easy on me. It's very hard to prepare. Very rough day.
Very rough day, yes.
Very rough day.
It could have been a Sunday at a prison, eh?
What?
It could have been a Sunday at a prison, eh?
You can eat after... Okay, let me turn to the right page first. Okay. Give me 1 second. Okay, so we just began to touch upon all of the Shtumim. Okay, so we're up to the Patan. That's what we're up to. Vav.